Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience Podcast, where we make education your business, interviewing the brightest and most influential minds in higher education today. And I really mean it this time. And we've got two amazing people in front of us. And Liz, you are also amazing. And you're in front of me in person.
Make sure you say that. How dare you?
I'm going to go through the buttons here in a second.
No, but
Susan and I talked before the podcast, and we made some agreements, Jim. And I don't know if you know about these agreements or not.
Okay. Here's I'm starting to get worried.
Oh, yeah. So Susan told me that every time Jim says something, I need to hit button A. So Jim, when you say something, this is what's going to happen.
Okay. She said hit applause.
She said, if you don't hit button A, hit button D. And I thought I got all the buttons right. Sorry, button C. So Jim, if you say anything else, I'll hit this button. Okay. Then Susan said, if she says anything, I hit buttons B and D. So here's B.
Oh, you should get all the applause.
And D.
I have only one question, Joe.
What's that?
Who invited you to this conference?
That's what I want to know. It
Elizabeth
wasn't me.
Had to drag me.
I'm uninviting you as of right now.
With us right now, Jim Milton, CEO of Anthology, Susan Scholes, Chief Marketing Officer of Anthology. First of all, guys, thank you for having us here. It has been an amazing conference. Mm-hmm. We've been sitting here talking to the amazingness of the people that have been put in front of us has been truly stellar. Questions for you guys. Jim, I'll start with you. What have you thought about this conference? Is that everything that you hoped it would be in the inaugural Anthology conference post-COVID, which obviously this is a unique situation? Tell me what your thoughts are.
So this has exceeded my expectations.
Amazing.
By a long awesome. Shot. And in fairness, we didn't know fully what to expect. I mean, this is one of the first conferences out of the gate. Live conferences, I should say.
For all of us, for many
of
us.
Right? And we've taken a lot of safety precautions, and the hotel's been great. All of our employees, whom we call anthologists, have been great. All of our customers have been great. So the safety and hygiene was critically important to us. But that all being said, I mean, the buzz, the atmosphere is just, I think people have been desperate to get back into face-to-face interactions. It's almost like people have been holed up at their house, or maybe they've gone back to campus, but I'll tell you, it's been phenomenal. So this has exceeded my expectations.
Susan, to you, a year ago and change, you guys took three organizations, you've put them together and made one heck of an organization, an anthology. Mm-hmm. There is a buzz, as Jim said, around here. It's been literally like you can hear the buzz, people's
exactly.
excitement. Taking three organizations, rebranding into one, it's a marketing nightmare and a marketing dream all at the same time, especially when you can pull it off, which you have. Well done. And how are you
Thank
feeling
you.
About
Thank
about
you.
Things?
You know, you are right. It is a huge challenge, but a dream as a marketer. And it's been an amazing ride. And, you know, most of it has been virtual. Right? We're seeing a lot of success in social media, in building the brand legacy, the brand following. But to be in an event like this and really see Anthology in person, bringing it to life and getting the great feedback that we've had about the company and about the brand has been amazing. So really feeling it in person is a whole different level.
Mm. Liz, what do you think about everything that's been happening today and yesterday?
You know what? This is probably I've been in higher ed for 20 years. Don't
Long
say
time.
Anything. Don't hit any buttons at that point. But this is probably the most fun I've had at a conference. This has been a phenomenal learning experience. The lineup of speakers, the sessions, the people that we've met, the leaders that we've spoken with. This has been a phenomenal experience. And kudos to you guys for putting this on. I think you're right. I felt an excitement in the air. It is different from a lot of conferences I've been to. I've been to sorority conferences. I've been to conferences everywhere across the board, not just higher ed. Bar crawls. It says the person that has a beer in their hand, but be that as it may. So my question for you guys as well is, when you're looking at, you know, everything that you've planned, everything that you've done leading up to the conference and now, launching this conference and having it be so successful, what would you say were the key learning lessons, the key takeaways? You know, what were your insights from your clients and from everything that you saw over the past couple of days. Just give us like maybe a little snapshot.
Where do you go from here
now? In terms of what came out of this?
Susan, you first and then
Sure. You know, I think a conference like this, it's so important to have a lot of time to network with your peers. And that's what it was really all about, is learning from other institutions, their success stories, their best practices, you know, how they're best leveraging their partnership with Anthology. So we built in so much time for that. You know, even with the executive track, having a whole session where Anthology stewarded it, stewarded the conversation, but it was really between those executives sharing with each other, you know, about their challenges and their opportunities coming out of COVID. So having an event that really builds in all that networking and that discussion between peers and institutions is so important, not just Anthology presenting. I mean, of course we did. We had a lot of great news about our products and our product roadmap, but it's all about the customers and being really customer centric with our content.
Love Jim, what about you? Key takeaways. What'd you learn? Where do you go from here?
So I had a chance to, take the opportunity during several different breaks in the schedule and the back-to-back meetings I had to just kind of go up and introduce myself and meet some folks and get some direct feedback from our customers. And the feedback was incredible. And I took, I think, maybe 100 pages of notes, which I still have to distill and figure out how to turn this into product roadmaps and things that we need to improve upon. But the beauty of a conference from a perspective of an education technology company is that you get direct unsolicited feedback from your customers. And, you know, we have lots of areas we can improve across the board. And I love that. It was also an opportunity to float by some of the directions that we're moving forward in. Starting with the keynote on the first day, I talked about this concept of multidimensional pathways. Mm-hmm. And I was able to kind of test that with a lot of the customers from different domains, everything from the enrollment office to student affairs to financial aid to the alumni foundations. Here, give you an example. Talking to many of the alumni folks, they have no information that is being provided to them today around the level of engagement of a student, an alumni who was a student at the institution, let's say 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So involvement in co-curricular activities,
right,
which can inform how I'm going to reach out to them as an alumni.
Yep.
Sounds fairly basic, but many institutions are not doing that today. Mm-hmm. So just that whole challenge of breaking down the data silos and getting information to flow across that full life cycle, what I like to call birth to bequest, mm-hmm, in an institution. We've got a lot of work to do in higher education in general, not just with us, to make that happen.
You know, one of the most common and amazing things that we heard amongst all the guests that we had here from Anthology's conference, Anthology Together, was that, you know, there's a big difference between what happened pre-COVID and what's going to be happening in the future. Mm-hmm. And being prescriptive and not necessarily descriptive with data is going to be so important. Jim, I'm going to ask you this question first. We're in a time where higher education has to continue to evolve and innovate, and you can't do it without data, and you can't do it without a great partner. And everybody that sat down in front of us talked about Anthology being that great partner. You guys have been delivering, your customers feel that you've been delivering, but evolution continues. How do you see Anthology evolving into the future from your notes, from your 100 pages? I'm not going to ask you specifics, but is it customer-centric? Is it more student-centric? Is it more data-centric? Talk about, or is it all?
Yeah, so I would say it starts with student-centric.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Because, mm-hmm, and by the way, the term that we use interchangeably is learner-centric. Mm-hmm. Because if you think of lifelong learning, so we sometimes switch back and forth between those two. But nonetheless, if you, I think virtually every institution you've talked to over the last 2 days and over the duration of your hundreds of very good podcasts.
Thank you, sir.
Have talked about that, right? Mm-hmm. And some, it's been a common underlying theme. One of the things that I'd like to point out, and I think where higher education sometimes, and by the way, education technology companies may be part of this problem. We think about cohorts.
Mm-hmm.
And cohorts, I understand the practicality of if I'm trying to, for example, ascertain at-risk students from a retention perspective. Maybe pragmatically, I got to think about a cohort or put people into buckets. I think that may be the wrong approach. I think every single student or learner is an individual. They have different life experiences. They have a diversity of backgrounds that they bring to the table. So they're already starting with uniqueness from one to the next. They also have different objectives when it comes to the outcome that they're trying to realize, which, by the way, may include the particular college or university as a subset of their objectives, right? This is not unusual. If you truly believe in lifelong learning, it's not always going to be from that same institution. It's going to be from your employer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about it in that context, they have different outcomes that they're trying to achieve. So I think we do have to, in fairness, people in student affairs get this, right? They're on the front line of having to deal with those individuals. But I would just say that as we look forward, and certainly COVID caused an incredible transformation overnight, and it's going to accelerate everything. That's been talked a lot of, I'm sure, by your other guests. But
now what has also been part of the theme. Now what do we do?
Back to complete personalization.
Love it.
And again, why we've introduced this concept at this stage called multidimensional pathways. And again, if you think about people are implementing degree pathways or guided pathways, right? Putting people into a particular path. It's not unusual in a community college, for example, somebody coming in and having no idea, you know, so you've got to guide them. But then you start to add the skills that they need to develop. You add the experiences that they develop and the learning pathways. That all has to be tailored and customized to that unique individual. Mm-hmm. I think, to quote the greatest athlete in the history of the world and the greatest sport in the history of the world, of course, that being Wayne Gretzky in ice hockey.
Of course. That's what we were all going to say.
Jim. Yeah, where the puck is going in this case is exactly there. And if we put that student at, and so I wanted to expound upon what we think about putting the student first or student at the center of everything. It's really, again, recognizing that they're unique individuals.
Mm. I love it. What do you think, Susan? And I know you guys are time sensitive, so I'm going to keep you for one more minute than you prefer, just to make it interesting here, to make you a little jittery. Susan, there's thousands of, 1,000 people here.
Yes.
There's thousands more at home that couldn't come to the Anthology Together conference, and even more thousands of people who are using the systems, potential customers. What do you want them to know about Anthology's future, Anthology now and into the future, that, I don't know, engages them in your business trajectory, if you will?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Jim was talking about data, right? And one of the things that we're going to do from a brand and marketing perspective is continue to increase our thought leadership, you know, helping with all of this change coming out of COVID. And one of the important surveys that we just completed was a recent student alumni survey. So we had more than 2,600 young alumni respond to the survey. It was one of the presentations here at our event. And we learned, you know, talking to the data that Jim was referring to, the data that an institution can have on their student really makes a more successful alum, right? And we learned that a more engaged student, you know, working with Anthology's tools, becomes a more engaged alumni, and how that really, you know, gives back to the institution and their time, talent, and treasure. It's amazing. We got so much information out of that survey. We're going to have a white paper coming out right after Anthology Together on it. So a lot of follow-up information coming out of this survey that will continue and will lead up into our event in 2022. Okay, I'm going to it.
We're going to ask you that. We thought it might be in Winnipeg or wherever Wayne Gretzky was born, but we're going to, where's it going to be?
He was born in Brantford, Ontario.
How did I know you were
played for Edmonton Oilers and then the Los Angeles Kings?
Yes, sir. He did. You. That's right.
Thank you.
So there'll be a steady stream of thought leadership coming out of this event, and then we're going to open up registration in January 2022 for our event July 18th through the 21st in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City.
Get the music ready.
Yeah. It's going to be a blast week.
Is it at Opryland?
It is at Opryland.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. you guys, I'll give, you know, Liz, I'm kind of doing a lot of the talking here, which isn't unlike normal. So I don't even know why I'm bringing
yeah,
it up.
You took over the whole conversation and That's made okay. this you all can about yell yourself. At me. I'll yell at you later.
Yell at me later. Yes.
Remember when I talked about treating individuals as individuals?
And, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you need some.
He needs some mentorship.
You know
and
what?
Coaching,
you're not the first person
right,
that told
Jim?
Me that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They said to take it easy on you, and I said, "Have you listened to the previous episodes of The Other Experience?" I need more advocates over here. Susan, final word on a scale of 1 to 10. On the scale of 1 to 10, Liz is asking you on a scale of 1 to 10.
Liz is asking, channeling the success
Let me
of Anthology Together.
And then Jim, you get the final.
2021, scale of 1 to 10. Let's make those people that didn't come jealous. What? On a scale of 1 to 10.
You missed it. I hope everyone saw all the social media. You know what?
Yes.
It's been so much fun, so much networking, so much learning, but there's been a lot of fun. In fact, we have a really fun event to go to tonight,
that's
too.
Right.
So our Cowboy Pop event. So, you know, that's part of the brand of this event. Is to balance, you know, work hard, play hard, right?
That's how
you
do it.
That's
right. So, you know what? My last word is this has been awesome. It's been so fun. I think our customers and guests have really enjoyed it and had a good time and learned a lot. So.
Come out next year.
Yeah,
now
to the person that photobombed me. He photobombed my selfie. CEO Jim Milton, scale of 1 to 10, how successful in your eyes was this conference? And most importantly, how proud of your staff are you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so you beat me to the punch. I'll answer, because Susan didn't answer the question of 1 to 10. 11.
Oh, wow.
Love it.
It really was. In all sincerity. And I'm extraordinarily proud of our people. It is, in particular, I'm gonna make her blush here. A good thing it's a podcast, so you can't see the blushing. But
we could see it, and that's yeah. You know. But
I'm already blushing.
Got to have some audience.
Yeah, the marketing team under Susan's leadership is. You asked about the brand earlier. It was extraordinarily well received, not just at this event, but leading up to it. Finding an English name, first of all, that we could trademark in 6 countries and 3 languages, mm-hmm. getting the URL for anthology.com and, you know, the collection of the best, as we like to call it, and the mark, the design, all of that, huge amount of effort went into that. And it's the marketing team and Susan that made it happen. But there's a lot of people behind this event beyond marketing. We have a lot of our product management team and our services organization that presented. I don't know how many breakouts in total we had.
A lot.
Probably 100.
We had more than 100
more
breakout
than 100.
Sessions.
People were moving around
it's
like
amazing.
Crazy going from
yeah.
Breakout.
Yeah. So massive amount of work to make that happen. The IT folks that came in here to kind of make sure that everything was working seamlessly. And there's just all kinds of people
customer
behind this.
Experience.
It was interesting. I went up, we subcontract some of the work for the production crews here. I went up to all the cameramen after we had keynote events, and it was around a circular stage, if you will,
which was an amazing stage. I don't know who brought that to the table, but
that would be Susan and her team. But they had cameras on all corners of this, so that the audience, as you're watching, it's you're looking at the frontal view of the individual, even though they're talking to 4 different parts of the audience. Just that alone was superb. So those are the behind the scenes folks that I wanted to acknowledge. In this case, they were not even our employees, but I'm proud of the entire team for pulling this off, because it is a massive effort.
Well, Liz, it's been a pleasure to meet you. This is also the first time her and I have
first
ever
time
met.
We've met.
Oh, wow.
We met
we've
yesterday.
We've done a lot of podcast
wow.
episodes together, including one each with you,
yay.
And now one together with you.
Yeah.
And we met for the first time, and Liz told me I'm as amazing as she expected me to be, although she did say I was 7'5" when we
yeah you're a giant
and she
how did you get
right
so tall
I don't know but thank you guys so much for having
thank
us
you.
Here and hosting us.
This has been amazing.
Been an amazing experience
and, but don't let me I have to say I thank you for all that you do. Because
thank you, Jim,
because you're spreading the word in the podcast, and some really interesting folks that you've had on your podcast are getting the word out and helping all of higher education raise the bar. And I truly mean that. So thank you
thank
for all
you.
That you do.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
And the
we
folks that we have
it.
Interviewed, have, there's too much information in our minds. We're literally just filled with great perspectives. You two bring great perspectives, and we're honored to know you and to be here. And this has been one of the most important episodes of the Ed Up Experience podcast. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.